Well, thank you, Ian. Thank you for your welcome. And yeah, great to be here. Really good to meet here again with you. I recognize some of you. I haven't been for ages. And so the good news is there's some people who have arrived since I last here. But I'm really thrilled to be able to come and share with you in communion and worship and fellowship at West End this morning. So I've got one or two kind of adverts quickly to get out of the way before we look at Luke chapter 10. That's what we're going to look at this morning in our time. Ah, bless you, Esther. That's great. Yeah, so West of England Baptist, because I haven't been here for ages, I'm not going to assume everybody knows everything, but Westbury West End is one of just over 120 Baptist churches around what we call the West of England. So we're covenanted together as a group of churches around the mission of God. So I represent the other churches in that sense this morning. Three of us as regional ministers full time. In theory, one of us can be in every church once a year, but in practice, it doesn't quite work out like that. So moving swiftly on, Esther, that'll be good. So a number of things to say thank you for. I think we're on that slide. Particularly for your giving to home mission. Our home mission pot of money is what enables other Baptist churches to thrive and not merely survive. It enables our regional association to function, so it supports people like myself, and it enables our national cohesion to operate. We have a national resource centre at Didcot, and we also share out that money across the regions to some degree so that we can balance up for those who have less than ourselves. We're relatively well off. You may dispute that, but we are relatively well off here in the West of England. And so the next one, I think, just talks about one or two things. And I think it mentions 72. Is that right? Yeah, brilliant. You're very good, Esther. That's excellent. I've brought some of these cups along this morning. If you would like one of these, there's some on the table there. And if you run out, there's a carry bag underneath afterwards. There's a cup, a holder and a lid. And you can have one of those free gratis if you wish this morning. For those of you who drink coffee and tea and other things like that on a regular basis, you can get 25p per cup off from the major chains, Costa, Starbucks, et al. So I'd just like you to think about using them so you don't keep using plastic and adding to the problems. So as Christians, knowing the Creator, we need to do our bit. And in that sense, we have more to say than people who don't know the Lord in that sense. So I want you to encourage you to help save the planet. I want you to save some money, of course, 25p a throw. That's £13 a year. But I'd like you to think about giving that money away to some worthy cause. And that may be the church here or it may be elsewhere. But think about that as well. But especially the real reason why we're focusing on coffee is to encourage people to think about who they might take out for coffee, ask into their own homes for coffee, think about sharing something about the Lord with the people that you know and connect with, whether that's friends, family or work colleagues. So that's a three in one, really. Save the planet, save some money and save somebody in the name of the Lord. So a little bit corny there, but there we go. OK, so moving swiftly on, we're going to look at Luke chapter 10 now. So I don't want to spend my time with you talking about the West of England Baptist Association, but I'm going to read to you first 12 verses from Luke chapter 10. And hands up if you've got a beer mat as you came in this morning. And hands up if you had a tea coaster as you came in this morning. Okay, I'd just like to know who I'm dealing with. That's very good. So that's got on one side, the sort of the blue side with a cycle around. That's what we call our discipleship cycle. And I'm on a little bit of campaign in terms of how we engage with the Word of God, the Bible, in the sense that you'll see there the deep red is listening. That's what we do on Sunday mornings, isn't it? We listen for the voice of God. That's what very often we do in our Bible studies, in our small groups and all the rest of it. And I think as a church, generally speaking, we're great at listening. But what I'm really passionate about is trying to encourage more and more of us to get beyond listening so that we don't just listen on a Sunday morning or whenever we listen to the Word of God, but we actually look beyond to see where God wants us to plant the particular seed of God's word we hear from him in any given particular time. So here and now from Luke chapter 10. And then we go out and we live and we do something about that. We actually do what we believe God is saying to us and calling us to do, so that we all learn. And by learning, I don't mean what we were taught in school, but that word disciple that we find in the New Testament really means learner. Jesus called disciples, those learners of him. How do we learn from him? Well, actually, not when we know something up here in our head, but when we embody what he's saying to us and speaking into our lives, so that it becomes part of who we are, because people need to see Jesus through us. So that's what that's all about. And I'm going to read through the passage now. And before we do that, I'm just going to lead us in a short prayer. Hopefully you'll join with me, so that when we get to the end of the passage, there'll be something, as it says on the back of that that God will be underlining something for us. What is grabbing your attention the most from this passage this morning? Hopefully when we get to the end of the reading, there'll be something that just stands out that little bit more. It might be just one word, it might be a phrase, it might be a whole verse or sentence. I'm not going to ask you to share that with anybody else, so you need not fear at this point in time. But I am going to ask you to hold on to whatever it is. And as we go through the sermon, and as you go home and reflect on what's said and shared this morning, you might come back to that and begin to work out why God is underlining that particular, those few words for you, for this day and for the week and month ahead. So are you with me so far? Terrific. Okay. Well, let's pray. Lord, we really thank you for your word. We thank you that it is living and active and dynamic. And we pray that as we seek to hear from you, it would be your voice that communicates to us above all the other voices clamoring for our attention. And so in the stillness of our heart before you this morning, we ask that you would speak to us in such a way that we know it is for each of us, for me, right here, right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. It says this. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we will wipe off against you.' Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town." Let's just be quiet for a moment. Let something settle on our heart and mind from that passage. Amen. Just a couple of years ago, I was thinking recently, it was 2 years ago, was the first Bristol and to Bath marathon, 26.2 miles. And 9 months before that, I was egged on to enter that by my son, who is obviously considerably younger, faster and fitter and all the rest of it than me. But he decided to enter, and I thought, well, if you can do it, so can I. The nature of son-father and son relationships. And I'd done a few half marathons, so I thought, well, it's only double the length, isn't it? But I remember that, that bit's true anyway. It is only double the length. You know, it's a long length, but there we go. But I remember the weekend, basically. I entered on the Friday evening, sort of egged to do it by my son, Tom. Entered that on the Friday evening and got my place. And by Sunday evening, the same weekend, I could barely walk over the room. I'd been out, it was the week before the Bath half marathon, which I'd entered into, and I went out before church on my last final long run before that. And I came back and I said to my wife, Maggie, I said, oh, I'm really feeling quite stiff. And by the time we'd been to church, got back home, had a lunch, my whole sort of felt like my whole body, but it was just my leg, had seized up. Anyway, one way or another, 3 weeks later, I found myself in the hands of a chiropractor. And he said, I booked in him, and my wife had been there before, a good Christian guy, lived the other side of Bristol. And he said, you know, you pay X amount for a consultation, and then it's up to you if you want a course of treatment. So I went through the examination and all the rest of it. We were talking about what had gone on. And he got to the end, and he said, Nigel, he said, I think if you do nothing with this particular injury, he said, it will right itself in time, but I can almost guarantee that will not last. This will recur. But he said, if you go through the course of treatment, he said, I can't guarantee 100%, but I'm pretty confident we can get you back to a place where it is far less likely to recur as long as you follow the treatment. He said, your problem is your body has become unaligned. So I said, well, that's no now choice, is it? I said, because, you know, I need to get well. He said, well, it is a choice. He said, I've told you what it is. You pay for the consultation and it's up to you whether you want to go through with that. And as he was saying this, I was sort of lying prone, horizontal. I could hear that story of Jesus where the man was by the pool and Jesus invited him and to come in and to be healed effectively. And he gave him the choice. Do you want to be well? And I thought, that's weird. Why am I hearing that? Anyway, went away, paid my money, signed up for the treatment. That very same evening, my wife and I went to hear Daniel Strickland, Salvation Army officer. She was speaking in Bristol. And there was about 500 at least, 500 to 600 people in the church building. And she got towards the end and she spent the last 10 minutes talking about a particular thing. She said, I just want to talk to you now about the Holy Spirit and his ministry as the divine chiropractor. And at this point, my wife digs me in the ribs. And I'm pretty sure that all 500 or so people in the room heard her say, are you listening? She claims it was a lot quieter than that, but that's not my remembrance of it. But anyway, I listened and she talked about some of you have a need to be realigned with God. Just about 4 hours previous, I'd heard my condition being diagnosed as saying, you are unaligned. And in the quietness, I heard the voice of God saying, if you want to work with me, you can realign your life and we can work through this process together. So what I set out on being a physical course of treatment actually became a spiritual course of realignment. Why do I share that this morning? Well, because I'm looking here at Luke chapter 10 with you on your 193rd church anniversary. You're looking pretty good on it, I have to say. 193 and counting. As Ian said, it's not that far from 200. What is it you are most grateful for as a church? What are you most thankful for over the last 193 years? Someone want to offer a contribution at this point? What is it? God's blessing? Yeah? Anything else? Sorry? I'm glad someone said that. Your salvation for each of you as you came to know the reality of Jesus Christ. It's as we gather together as individual Christians, Christ's one, his disciples, we make up the church. There's been much blessing over the last 193 years. You are the current recipients of that grace, that mercy, that blessing of God. God has been faithful, hasn't he, to his people, to you individually and to you collectively over 193 years. And there is a sense in which a church anniversary is a point in time at which we can stop and giving thanks for what God has done for us individually and collectively over the past 193 years, even though none of us have been here for the whole of that time, it is a point in which we say, yes, all this is because of God's faithfulness towards us. Where are we going tomorrow? Where are we going over the next 7 years to our 200th anniversary? Where are we going into the future in the years beyond now? Well, if we are going to honour the blessing of God, if we are going to honour the faithfulness of God, if we are going to honour the salvation of God, we must walk in line with the channel, the flow of his blessing and his purposes to us in the past. You don't need me to tell you that we live in critical times for the Christian church in this nation. And whereas some of you may remember this church, or maybe have been part of another church back over a few decades, you'll recognise that we're not in the same place today that we were then. If we go back just 40 years, there would have been, without even knowing this church firsthand then, many more children amongst us this morning. And churches then relied upon those children coming to faith in Jesus and being built into the church, but not anymore. That's a past age. We need to think about the future differently. So we need to think about aligning ourselves with what Jesus is telling us here in sending the 72. Just three very simple questions in here. It says there, where are you in the mission of God? I think that's important because it says here at the beginning here, Jesus sends out 72. He appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He, Jesus, was about to go. He sent them ahead of him. He was also going to go to where they were sent. It's not headed up in my Bible, the mission of the church. It's the mission of the 72. It's not even headed up the mission of the 72. Jesus sent them, as he sends us, ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. It's as if Jesus is sending us to every person, because those towns and places, some translations just simply say town and village where he was about to go, sending you to those people representing in those places, but he is coming too. It's Jesus' mission. It's not yours. It's not mine. It's Jesus' mission. And we're invited and we're privileged to be part of that. So moving swiftly on, that's my first question. In terms of the big picture, this describes the what, but my question is, are you in that picture? Now, I know if you're a Christian this morning, you're going to say, of course I'm in that picture because I've been included by the ministry and the work and the life of Jesus Christ. But what I'm really asking is, Are you finding your place in that picture? When you leave this building later on today, are you going out with a sense of, it's all down to me, whether I succeed or fail or not? Or are you going out with a sense of being commissioned, being sent by Jesus himself, going out with that sense of privilege that you go as his ambassador? You see, if I go out there thinking it's all down to me, Nigel, and then I sense that I miss an opportunity to share something of Jesus, whether that be in the words that I share with someone that I'm with in the coming week, or whether that be in some sort of act of kindness or generosity or compassion or something else, and I miss that opportunity, I get to next Sunday feeling that I've messed up and I've failed again. But if I go out with that sense that I'm being sent by Jesus, with a bit of confidence that wherever I go, whomever I'm with, he is wanting to come and be with those people, that person, whoever, then I go with a different sense. It becomes not a sense of, can I succeed in the mission that God has given me, but can I spot where God has sent me, who he's sent me to, how he's perhaps already engaging that person. So it might be as simple as when I'm sitting with someone or talking with someone, they're telling me about their own difficulties, whether they be health issues, relationship issues or other issues, that I simply might say, do you have a faith that's able to help you in this situation? And it's interesting when you ask people questions like that, how open they are, how as willing they are to share about their very often lack of faith, but desire for it, as they are willing to share their difficulties and their problems. So where are we in that big picture? I put down there division or multiplication, because you'll see here Jesus, it says, sends out 72 others. Who were the 72 others? Well, if you look back one chapter to Luke chapter 9, at the beginning of that chapter, Jesus sends out the 12. And just reading through those first few verses of chapter 9, it sounds almost exactly the same as the first few verses of Luke chapter 10, with one particular difference. It says there, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and cure diseases, and sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. Almost exactly the same, except the number is different. In Luke chapter 9, he sends out 12. And then by the time we get to the beginning of Luke chapter 10, it says, after this, Jesus sent out 72 others. 12s into 72 goes. I used to love these at school when it was something like 6 and no remainder. I was such a relief when it was a nice round figure. I don't expect each of the 12 recruited 6 others exactly. I imagine Peter brought a few others along. I don't think I'd say no if there was this big burly fisherman saying Jesus wants you to follow him. But roughly speaking, on average, the 12 brought 6 others. And then they were sent out. So in those days, the church was already beginning to multiply. And we must take care that we do not divide, that we do not gather as this number of people, but reduce the ministry of Jesus and the mission of Jesus to just the few that you look around and say, well, they're up to that. They can share their faith. I can't do it. Jesus sends us all. Moving swiftly on, the second question is the key focus. I'm not going to go through all these. These are just headings, really, to make you think. But what is the key focus in the mission of God that we read about here? There's two kinds of people, basically, here, just as there are two kinds of people in Westbury today. Those who have received peace and those who need to receive peace. Specifically, the peace of God. It's not explained how it happens. It just says here in verse 5, when you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. And if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. The Message version of the Bible says, don't go around looking for the best cook in town. Which is kind of saying, well, whoever invites you in, just stick with them. But today we probably just say, hi, how are you, when we're passing in the street or when we greet one another. But to this very day, in many parts of the Middle East and in Asia, it is actually the word peace that is used by way of greeting. The peace of God to you, the peace of God to you back, and so forth. So in a sense, it's just recognizing that with some people, there's some that word that means that whatever you give out comes back. That's just gone from my mouth for the moment in time. But that's what happens, isn't it? And the good news, this is Jesus, I call this Jesus putting the fun back into evangelism. Because no, he doesn't even say, go out, find someone and ask them round to your house for a meal. He's really saying, go, get to know people well enough so that they ask you round. That's when you know you're getting somewhere. That's when you know that someone's beginning to trust you. That's when there's an environment into which, trusting you, they're going to put more trust in the message of hope, the message of Jesus that we might want to share with you. The key focus, well, it's those people that Jesus is going to send you to be alongside this week. They might be in your own home. They might be part of your family. They might be friends. They might be work colleagues. They might be in the social club or the whatever, wherever you meet people and rub shoulders with them. And just finally, just to end up with, the final question, the key to it all, this answers the who. And just as we don't know, is that? That's not me, is it? It stopped, whatever. Sometimes I do hear heavenly choirs, but it's not usually when I'm speaking. But the key to it all, Jesus sends out 72 others. He's longing for those people who are yet to receive peace, his peace, to receive it. And invariably, it's you and me who are the bridge. We are the answer to the who. We're the messengers that God is calling. We're the ambassadors that God is commissioning. We're actually the key to how many people will be celebrating the 200th anniversary of West End Baptist Church. I put down there a few things, just run through them for a moment. I put down there that it's lonely. Jesus says the workers are few. I think that's why partly he sends us out in twos for support, but I put that down in terms of that sense of vulnerability as well. The workers are few, but Jesus has gone ahead and Jesus says he will come behind. So it's important we go out those doors knowing that this does not rest on our shoulders, but rests on Jesus' shoulders, that he goes with us. He says that we're called to be vulnerable like lambs amongst wolves. And that's why I would suggest if you know you're going to have a key conversation or opportunity to be with someone who you know needs Jesus this week, that you ask someone else in the church, a friend, to pray for you so that you don't simply go alone physically, but you go together in Christ. Talks about availability. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Let's just seek to receive from others, perhaps, rather than seek to be all the ones that give them. And in receiving their hospitality, they discover the wonderful truth sometimes that we hear about, that even we entertain angels at that moment in time. And we need to be dependent on God. No purse, no bag, no sandals. The good news is we don't have to wear sandals to look like Jesus today. But there's a much deeper truth going on here, isn't it? Jesus is pinpointing the things that might be different for us today, but the things that we tend to rely upon. And pointing out the fact that we don't need those things if we rely upon him. That if we go in our dependency upon God. I'm going to pray God's blessing on you as a fellowship on this 193rd anniversary. But more importantly, I want to pray that God's blessing will dissipate from this building through you, so that those who do not have peace discover peace, because one of the messengers of peace has come to them. Lord, I thank you for each and every one here this morning. I thank you for the generosity of God that you have placed within each of them. And I pray now that by your Holy Spirit, you would enable each and every one of us to see where we fit in your bigger picture, and how each of us have a crucial part to play in your message of hope and peace being shared amongst this community and further afield. By your Spirit, in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.